Amen. Well, hey, can we just give our worship team a round of applause? Yeah. There's times when, man, I'm just like, every song just fits perfectly with what we're going to be talking about today. So if I haven't met you before, my name is Matt. I get to serve as the lead pastor here, and it's so good just to be here. As you look around, you might start noticing some freshness. Everybody say fresh.
Fresh.
Fresh. We got some freshness going around. This stage has been freshly painted. We painted the children's wing. Shout out to the guys for coming in and painting. Give them a round of applause. It's looking good and it's looking fresh around here. And so I'm excited about that, and I'm excited about this season ahead. We're in a series right now called Mind the Gap. And what we're talking about is we understand that in our lives there's gaps between us and at times our relationship with God. And so we've begun looking at how Jesus bridges those gaps in our everyday lives. And there's things that we just struggle with that are very human and then very common. And it's one of the things that I love about the Word of God is that the Word of God isn't one of these far-off, unapproachable things that we can't relate with. Now, I know that there's times when you're like, but Matt, have you read Leviticus? Like, it's a little bit tough sometimes. Yeah, I get it. But even within Leviticus, there's real human emotions that people wrestle with, that people struggle with. But we're in the book of Psalms, and Psalms is very relatable. Psalms is very full of emotion and how God and why God. And so we've been looking through this series at the Psalms as we've looked at answers that God has to our everyday problems. Last week we talked about anger, and I shared about some times that I've wrestled with anger. Times where I've really struggled with my temper, and I shared one story about my friends getting in a food fight in our newly remodeled living or kitchen, and how it just sent me over the edge, right? And how at the end I did some things that I regretted. And listen, I don't share that to kind of like be fun. I share it because it was a real struggle for me. And I struggled even afterwards because I came back in and my wife was a little bit upset with me. My kids were a little bit upset with me. And I wrestled with disappointment, right? They were disappointed. I was disappointed. Why did I act like that? I thought I'd gotten past some of this, but sure enough, anger had risen to the surface. Maybe you've experienced disappointment in your life in one way or another. Disappointment comes in many different forms, right? Disappointment at the end of a relationship. Disappointment that you didn't get into the college that you wanted to get into, that you didn't make the team or get the promotion. You planned an incredible vacation. It was going to be amazing, and then everybody got sick. And you're just left sitting there feeling a little disappointed. Or you had financial plans and goals, and you were driving that car and excited about it, and you had an unexpected wreck. And you're just feeling disappointed right now. And we see these steps start to take place in our lives. That disappointment leads to discouragement that leads to depression, right? We start taking these steps down, and I think if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense, right? That we have disappointment, I'm just disappointed in this, and then I begin feeling discouraged and then ultimately depressed. Depression is clinical. It's physical. It's living below the hope line. It's a downward spiral, anger turned inward, and if it's constant and consistent, don't be afraid to get help. I talked about the three P's, and one of them was pills. And listen, I'm not saying any pills, okay? I'm saying that we go to a doctor, that God has given us incredible minds and intelligence in order to say, like, hey, we need help. And I know that there's times where we need to reach out and get help, and it's okay. You don't have to, nor should you do this alone, because there is help out there. We talked about Depression Week 1. If you missed it, go back and watch it online. Then there's the step of discouragement, right? Discouragement does not necessarily mean you're depressed, but it means more than you're disappointed. It's like you just got socked in the stomach. It means that you've read something, you've seen something, or something that's happened that's knocked the wind out of you, right? You can go on, but you feel like you're kind of dragging a little bit. You don't have much joy. And then disappointment, it's the lead domino, right? It's what starts it all. Expectations weren't met. We couldn't control everything or everyone. We didn't control ourselves like we had wanted. And we're disappointed. I heard this once, and I talk about some iteration of it often. Expectations are prearranged resentments, right? Expectations are prearranged resentments, and prearranged resentments can be disappointing. And as I said last week, whatever you feed grows. And we start looking at what we're feeding in our life is really important, because for many of us, this sums up the last year or the last several years. You've had changes that you've had to deal with that were disappointment, and you find yourself feeding them. For others, it feels like every day you're feeding the disappointment and discouragement, and you find yourself more and more stepping down into depression, into anger, into frustration, into these places we don't want to go. But the good news of God that we find in the pages of the Bible and the ancient Psalms is that God has a bridge, that he wants to meet us in our disappointment. Do you know that? That God doesn't look at your disappointment and say, man, just figure it out and deal with it. That he wants to meet you in your disappointment. That he wants to draw us close to himself. And that he wants to walk with us towards eventual healing and hope. That God is with us every step of the way. We're going to see how to move up this staircase and out instead of down. I love how real the writer of the Psalms is. He says in Psalms 13, 1 and 2, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" You ever felt that way? Like, this is what I talk about when I say the Bible is relatable. David is struggling. God, hello? Like, how long is this going to go on? Are you hiding from me? Where were you when my heart was broken? Where were you in the miscarriage or my struggle with infertility? God, where were you in the cancer, in the divorce, when my business fell apart, when I discovered the addiction that my kids were wrestling with, or when I began to wrestle with my own addictions and problems? The great thing is that God is close enough to hear our prayers and strong enough to be honest with us, to meet us right where we are. Guys, and that is really good news. Depending on the level of disappointment, we may stay in this place for a while. You may feel yourself going like, I need to step up out of my disappointment and find yourself stepping back in. I need to get out of my depression, but I find myself stepping right back in. It's okay. God doesn't get tired of hearing from you. And some of you today need to hear that. That God doesn't get tired of hearing from you, but that he wants us to seek him with all of our heart. It doesn't mean, it just excuses us to say, hey, God, I'm just going to hang you up for a while and I'm just going to go do my other thing. No, it doesn't mean that, but it does mean that he is there for us consistently. He doesn't look at you and say, seriously, you haven't got past that yet? Move on. God will sit with us in our pain, even as he desires that we walk up and out into the season that he has for us. The psalmist continues in verses 3 through 6. He says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall." See, David begins taking steps up. Even in the midst of his struggle, or I will sleep in death, my enemy will say, I've overcome him. My foes will rejoice. Even in that, look at what he says. He says, God, look on me and answer, Lord my God. He is saying, God, you are the Lord in my life. You are over me. Give light to my eyes. See, David is moving from disappointment to desire. He's saying, God, this is what I desire for my life. This is what I know my hope rests and where joy is found. Give light to my eyes. Show me a way out. And when we face disappointment, it often leaves us with questions, doesn't it? It leaves us with questions. Why did this happen this way? What could I have done different? Will I always feel this way? God, am I always going to be alone? Will I ever feel whole? Specific questions that we might wrestle with. David calls out to God with his desires. God, this is what I want. I acknowledge you as Lord. Give light to my eyes because it's dark. We can call out to God with our desires, and then this, we begin to step up and out of our situation, because depression steps up to discouragement, steps up to disappointment, steps up to desire, which steps up to delight. That we begin to delight in God. Over time, God wants us to move out and up from our depression into ultimately delighting in Him. Do you know that there's power in delighting in God? Do you know that there's power in reminding yourself of the goodness of God in your life, in the past, and in others' lives as well? It is seriously a powerful practice to begin. I would encourage you to start today. When I look back on my life and I remind myself of how God came through when there seemed to be no way, I get encouraged because it reminds me that He's going to be there for me today. That He's going to be there for me tomorrow. He says, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. See, David's reminding himself. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in the salvation that you've promised to me. I will sing of praise. I will delight in you. For you've been good to me. This delight is a powerful weapon. He reminds himself and us to trust in God. Because God's been good to us in the past, and He will be good in our present and in the future. So we find a bridge to the gap of disappointment when we go up and out, not down and inward. Do you know that that's a choice? Now, listen, I'm not saying that there's not times where we find ourselves bumbling along down these steps quickly and rapidly. But at some point, we're able to catch ourselves and say, listen, right now, it's time for me to make a decision. I get to feed something. I'm going to either feed something that's going to help me descend further and further into the things that I don't want for my life, or I'm going to begin to feed things that get me up and out. I'm going to begin to feed things that help me to remind me of God's goodness, of His salvation, of the trust that I can have in Him. So today, I want to give you some key takeaways for us to move up and out. Some key things that we have to do in our lives if we are going to choose to remember God's goodness and faithfulness, that will not only desire Him, but that will delight in Him. God bridges the gap when, first of all, we choose faith over feelings. And I cannot tell you how important this first step is. To choose faith over feelings. See, your problem and my problem is sometimes we act with our feelings. Right? That we act by our feelings. And here's what we've come to discover, right? In all of our time with walking with God, or maybe you're observing and you're like, why does that person stay so calm under all the things that they're navigating in their life? It's the choices. It's the choices that we make each and every day, each and every hour, each and every moment to choose our faith over our feelings. See, our emotions, they can be passengers, but they're horrible drivers of our life. You ever think about that? That our emotions, really, when we let our emotions take the driver's seat, they lead us into a lot of horrible decisions. They led me to take my kid's birthday cake, pick it up with a shovel, and throw it on my friend's car. That wasn't a good driver in my life, right? And you can think about times where you've let your emotions drive you. Whether it was anger, whether it was sadness, no matter what it was, and it's led you to make horrible decisions. I'm not saying that we have to deny our feelings, that we have to just stuff it all. It can ride in the car, but it shouldn't direct the way that we live our life. Our emotions need to be guided by God, a rudder to guide us. I love this part of the psalm. He says, "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me." See, David's given himself a rudder. I trust in your unfailing love. God, I know that my emotions would take me all over the place right now, but I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to believe that you are the God who controls and dictates my life, and that in you is the better way, the best way for my life. Faith is rooted by evidence from the past to direct us in our present. Faith is rooted in evidence from the past. God, you've led me through this before. You've helped me navigate this thing, and I'm going to trust you as I step into my current and into my future. Footnote, faith is the hope of what is to come, not denial of reality, right? It doesn't mean like we just, again, act like everything's okay and we're not struggling. No, David says, I'm struggling, God. I'm wrestling with these things in my life, but I trust in you. Faith in the Bible doesn't deny the reality of hard times. So we dealt with number one. Number two is to choose God over God's stuff. To choose God over God's stuff. Because the temptations many times in our lives, as we begin to do better and we start taking steps up and out, and we start seeing all of these things that come our way in our life as we begin to trust in them rather than to trust into God. Bible says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers." But what? "But those who delight in the law of the Lord and who meditate on it day and night." That person is like a tree planted by streams of water which yield its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked leads to destruction. It's one of the things that I love about the Word of God. This is, it's calling me. It's calling you. It's calling all of humanity to a relationship with God. That it's saying, listen, I have a plan to rescue you. I have a plan to get you up and out of this situation, but you have to trust in me. Because it's going to mean doing some things differently than what you might think. It's going to mean making the choice to not walk in the way of the wicked, or to walk in the way you see all your friends doing as they just descend further and further into the consequences of their choices. He says, "Blessed is the man who does not be lockstep with the wicked." He says, I delight in God, and we delight in our relationship together. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was both a judge and a preacher, said this at one time. He said, "You need to talk to yourself more than you listen to yourself." You guys get that? That you need to talk to yourself more than you listen to yourself. Because there's going to be times where your emotions are going to listen. If you listen to them, they're going to lead you in a path that you don't want to go down. But talking to yourself, reminding yourself of God's goodness, reminding yourself of God's word, reminding yourself of how he has come through in the past will lead you to a better tomorrow. Which leads us to number three. So we choose joy. In every disappointing situation, you can assume the worst or you can assume the best. You can feed all those negative emotions that are going to lead you to take steps further and further down, or you can choose joy. That you can assume the best. That you can say, God has been with me this entire time. He has led me through worse. I know he will be with me in this. God, even though I feel like I'm surrounded, look to the hills and see the battle as it truly is. God, you are there with me in the past. You are with me in the present. And I know it will lead me to the future that you have for me. Psalms 126, 4 through 6 says, restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Like the streams in an arid place, a desert, a place that's barren. And here's what I want to encourage you with. You might feel like you're in a barren place right now. Like it's dry and you're just here because you're exploring who this God is. What Jesus might have for you because you just feel totally bankrupt. God meets you in your tears. He meets you in the dryness of your soul when you're feeling lost and maybe a little bit hopeless and disappointed. It says, those who sow in tears shall reap songs of joy of God's provisions. So he meets us where we are. He leads us out. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed, sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy. That's what God desires for you. That's what God desires for us. It is during those times when it is hard that we trust, that we talk to ourselves, not listen to ourselves, that we feed the things of God and we starve ourselves of the ways that lead to depression. Your tears before God unlocks God's provision and abundance. I want you to hear me today. If you're thinking about giving up hope today, trust in him. Don't quit. Don't give up. Lean into God in the midst of your struggle. See, here's what we believe. That we will choose joy. That we will choose God. That we will choose faith. And that we will walk forward with the help of our God to go up and out of our struggles that we wrestle with. And with God's help, that we will walk into freedom. This is what God wants for us. It's what God wants for you. Would you pray with me as we lean into that today? God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that you are there with us in the midst of our struggle. God, I pray that you would help us to trust more fully in you and that we let your words and your heart guide and dictate the choices that we make and not our emotions. God, I pray that we would be people who don't just hear your word on Sunday morning, but that we go home and that we read your word. That it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And God, I pray that you would transform each and every person's life in this room. That they would experience you more fully today. And that they would find that delighting in you, God, brings joy beyond anything we've ever experienced before. I love you and I thank you. That you bridge the gap. That you create a way when there seems to be no way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Matt.